The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to another live episode of Wrestling with Jonas for a Tuesday evening, episode 352. And I've got an awesome guest for tonight, none other than Ironclad Kurt Atlas. Kurt, how you doing, my friend? Great to have you on the show.
I'm very good, Jonas. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And we're going to be taking a deep dive with Kurt over the next hour or so. And of course, we are live across Facebook, YouTube, Twitch and X. So if you're watching this and if you're a fan of Kurt and you want to get in touch with the show, then please do send your questions through to us using your chosen device. And we'll do our very best over the next hour, however long we go, to answer all of your questions live on air. But before we take a deep dive with Kurt Atlas, just a quick reminder of why you should be hitting that like, follow and subscribe button to Wrestling with Jonas. And some of my recent interviews have included Alexis Falcon, that joined me in February. Fantastic guest, really, really entertaining hour-long interview with Alexis there. One half of the brand new Progress Tag Team Champions, of course. And just a week or so ago, Eddie Dennis joined me live on Wrestling with Jonas. A fabulous interview, a wonderful interview with Eddie. Really, really fun and insightful chat with him. And last week, my most recent live interview was with Jack Landers, spring-heeled Jack Landers, no less. And this past weekend, I interviewed Millie McKenzie. Millie will be joining me, not live, but pre-recorded. That interview will be dropping this coming Thursday, so in just 2 days' time. And as announced last week on my Jack Landers interview, I've got Flash Morgan Webster joining me in April, April the 8th. And that's going to be a fantastic live interview, Monday, April the 8th at 8 p.m. But today, it's all about this guy here, Ironclad Kurt Atlas. And thank you so much for joining me. But as we kind of said to each other off air, you know, the last year or so of your career has been absolutely phenomenal, a real kind of barnstormer of a year for you, a real standout year for you, Kurt. But 2023... I think you came onto a lot of people's radar. You really branched out. I think it's probably your busiest year in the business as well, wasn't it, Kurt?
I'd say so, yeah, 100%. I believe 84, 85 matches total over a variety of different shows as well. So a very busy year.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the companies I want to talk about and one of the highlights of your year, certainly we're 2024, skipping ahead a little bit here, but Brit King Pro, and I know you've had a handful of matches with them already this year, we've got to talk about this match here. There you are, teaming with The Saint, going up against Lee Hunter and of course WWE legends Santino Marella. And there you are backstage, possibly after your encounter with Santino. But okay, Brit King Pro, a real company on the rise. And I interviewed Dave Sharp last year, just before their first three shows. But they've had a handful of shows this year that you've been a part of. But you know, being there with the WWE legend like Santino Marella, that's not too bad, is it?
Oh, definitely not too bad for a start of the year. That actually came out of nowhere completely as well, because I wasn't actually told that match was happening until it got announced. So I found out at the same time as everyone else did.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I don't know whether you were a WWE fan or a Santino Marella fan, but what was your reaction when you did find out? And what was it like to work the guy in the ring? And I think this was maybe last month, not too long ago.
Yes, last month. It was definitely an experience to work with someone who, not just who's worked for the WWE, but someone who I've watched obviously on TV and seen all this stuff. Obviously, I'm a massive fan of the guy as well, so it was such a surreal experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And we spoke about 2023 being a real standout breakout year for into a bit more detail, but off the back of the momentum of 2023, looking into 2024, where was your kind of mindset at the beginning of this year? How did you want to tackle 2024 in particular, as compared to how you tackled the previous year, and especially with the momentum that you had off the back of 2023, Kurt?
The main aim for 2024 was simply make it bigger than 2023 was. I saw 2023, especially the tail end of 2023, as slowly creeping up to my breakout year. So I wanted to make sure that 2024 was my breakout year, if not preparing myself for 2025 to be my breakout year.
I felt, having seen a lot of your matches, certainly in 2022, 2023, and one or two from this year as well, that we've got a more confident and a more comfortable Kurt Atlas in the ring. Did you feel that 2023 was the year where you kind of really started to find your feet and feel more comfortable and more confident in the ring?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I found my style, especially, and that allowed me to then gain the confidence. Like, I was able to go from being just another wrestler to having my own skills and my own things that I do, and that just led to me getting more confident when I was in the ring, and just being able to get that across as well to an audience.
Yeah. And looking back on 2023, certainly over the last 12 months or so, where do you feel you've grown the most as an overall performer, as a pro wrestler?
Obviously, I think I found my look finally, that's getting eyes on me. But I think just as I said, really, my style and what I want to be as a wrestler, not trying things that I shouldn't be doing. I'm sticking to my guns, especially when it comes to heavyweight wrestling. I'm sticking to heavyweight stuff, branching out when I need to, but not doing it because I want to, not doing it because I have to, but because it just suits me, if you get what I mean.
Oh, 100%. And I want to take you back to Brit King Pro again, because I think that's one of the companies that you've wrestled for a good handful of times already in 2024. And you kicked things off at the beginning of the year. I think it was Saturday, the 13th of January, against Ho Ho Lun, wasn't it? And like I say, world-renowned independent wrestler. Fans of WWE might remember him from the Cruiserweight Classic in 2016, I think it was. But getting the opportunity to wrestle Ho Ho Lun, and I think this would have been in Swindon as well. A great opportunity, a fantastic athlete, very, very experienced. But your first match with Brit King Pro was against Ho Ho Lun. I don't know if that's a case of throwing you in at the deep end, but certainly a fantastic opportunity.
Oh, definitely. Again, similar to the Santino Marella match, in a way, I actually was going to this show without being on it. I was just actually going up with a few people who were already there. And it just so happened that there was a dropout and they needed someone, so I was slotted in. Obviously, the Santino Marella match was announced, but I didn't know about it. But in this case, it was another surprising match that really benefited me in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you kind of learn anything or take anything away from facing stars such as Ho Ho Lun or Santino Marella? Like I say, I'm guessing that they possibly had an opportunity to offer you feedback after the matches. But was there any takeaways from those matches in particular?
Those, I believe, were my first international matches, at least of note anyway. So it was really interesting to be in there with people who've had different styles, not non-British wrestlers, who've obviously come up with different teachings and that sort of thing, because they were then able to pass those on to me. I was able to learn in the ring as well, those different techniques, those different styles. They would do things differently to how I was taught. And they always say in wrestling training schools, there's no one way to learn something. There's multiple different ways. And it was the perfect example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've also had other matches at Brit King Pro with the likes of JD Knight, Nico Angelo, who is one of your trainers at New Wave Academy, of course. And I think you were the very first challenger for the first ever Brit King Pro champion, Sami Zayn. So not only some great opportunities, some really great experienced opponents there, Kurt, but also opportunities to test yourself and your abilities against some of the best in the UK right now.
Absolutely. As you said, Nico, one of my trainers at New Wave, first time matchup between me and him, hopefully one of many, would love to jump back in there with Nico and have a better match after better match after better match, constantly improve in there with Nico. JD Knight, another fantastic worker who I'd never stepped in the ring with before. It was a pleasure to be in there with him. And obviously challenging Sami for that belt was an amazing experience, to have the honour of being the first title match at Brit King. I'm facing Sami again, actually, very soon, I think the 30th of March. Unfortunately, he's not the champion anymore, so I won't be able to take that belt off him anytime soon.
There we go. But here are some pictures of you kind of entering one of your matches. I think there you are against Ho Ho Lun and the aforementioned Sami Zayn, who's no longer the Brit King Pro champion, but like I say, a very, very talented UK standout wrestler. I think one of the, you've already alluded to it, but one of the kind of main highlights and talking points about your career over the last 12 months or so has been the fantastic transformation, both in your look and in your presentation, the gear, the hair. I think you'll kind of agree with me that that the transformation has certainly been kind of widely applauded within the wrestling community, your peers and fans and promoters. You really kind of have put in a lot of work towards transforming your look and your physique and your overall presentation, haven't you, Kurt?
Absolutely. I believe the weight specifically, the weight loss, was an entire year's worth of work. Obviously, I had the new gear in the pipeline for a while, and the hair was actually a spur of the moment thing. But I think altogether, it just came together to create such a nice package of a wrestler that it has obviously benefited me in the long run. So,
yeah, tell us about the work that went into obviously the weight loss, the physical transformation. When I got you've shown these on your socials, the before and the after. So that's not too long ago, only November 2022 through to what we see today as a promo picture from October, of course. Looking mean, looking sharp, and looking ready for business there, Kurt. But what work went into the transformation? And I'm guessing that you kind of had to change a lot regarding dietary requirements, maybe workouts, and just kind of, you know, everything on a daily basis.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of it was just diet, to be honest. Like, as I said in the social media post, I fell off completely towards the end of 2022. I've physically changed like multiple times in my life. I briefly bodybuilt when I was like 18 years old in 2018, then gained a lot of weight, then lost a lot of weight. And it's been just a constant back and forth through my life. But in 2022, I was just kind of like, I've got to take wrestling seriously now. I'm really starting to enjoy it, especially since moving on to New Wave in early 2022. So I decided to make 2023 the year that I finally just get back into the shape I was in when I was 18. And obviously, it was a year-long kind of thing that I did, a lot of diet stuff, calorie tracking, macros, all that stuff. And within a year, it just ended up benefiting so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only do we get a new look, I'm guessing that you've got a fresh outlook on professional wrestling and maybe a fresh outlook on your career and what you want to achieve within your career now that you've got this kind of fresh lease or this new look and feel about Kurt Atlas.
Yeah, I've always, since becoming Kurt Atlas in about 2018 time when I first debuted as Kurt Atlas, I was always struggling to find identity, I guess, like what I would, wear gear-wise, whether it was a singlet or trunks or actually getting some really good-looking gear, investing in myself, what to do physically, what kind of physique I wanted, what to do with my hair especially. I've gone through multiple different types of hair.
styles that never worked or sometimes worked. But I think finally I've found exactly what I needed to make a difference to my own career and also get out there in the wrestling business.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like you found yourself. And it also sounds like you kind of found yourself through kind of being more yourself as well. And, you know, being kind of portraying yourself as your character. But you mentioned about kind of the singlets and the early looks. And this is kind of some of your early gear and what you used to look like. Probably some more recent pictures here with the short hair. And of course, now we look at this guy here, the real deal, fantastic physique. The hair, the gear, it just really, really works. But we did have a question that came through before we went live, and it's from Darren Ewan. And he says, how did you come up with the name Ironclad? So give us a bit of insight into the name Ironclad and what was the inspiration behind that moniker?
It was mainly based on the whole thing of I've always been a bigger guy. I've never been a small person. I believe 6'1", around 240 pounds at the moment. Even when I was younger in school and all that, I was one of the bigger boys, especially because I started weight training around the age of 15, well, 12, or briefly around the age of 12, then more seriously in the gym around 15. And then ever since, I've been consistent. So always been a big guy, weight training definitely helped. And obviously then clad in iron just made sense. The whole clad in muscle thing, obviously make it clad in iron, and there it is.
There we go. How would you describe your character, your persona? How would you describe Ironclad Kurt Atlas? Does he have a defined character or persona at the moment?
I think it's mainly to be the hardest worker and the hardest man in the room, as well as being a bit of a freak athlete. Like, obviously, I'm a big guy, so I've got the strength, I've got the power, but I'm also freakishly athletic, and I can do some, when needed, I can do some very technical or very high-flying things that you wouldn't expect. So that's mainly what the character can be. The personification of powerhouse with those surprising elements when needed.
Absolutely. And another highlight from your 2023 has to be you becoming one half of the WrestleForce tag team champions alongside Josh Breen as a Hoss style takeover. Now, first of all, I've got to ask you about the team name. Absolutely love the team name Hoss style takeover. Tell us a little bit about the team name, first of all, Kurt.
Yeah, it's just two lads who love the Hoss style of wrestling, and they're both there to take over, pretty much. Great play on words of a name. I can't take credit for it. shout out to Jack Holloway, actually, for coming up with that name for me and Josh. But yeah, it's definitely benefited us, that name, and it obviously relates perfectly to both me and Josh, both being of bigger stature.
There we go. Let's bring up some pictures of yourself and Josh there. There you are with the gold as the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions. Now, you are no longer the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions, but I know that you held the belts for about 5 months, 140 days, five title defences. I believe one of those was against none other than former Progress World Tag Team Champion Sunshine Machine. So a hell of a run. 140 days is a great reign for any champion. But tell us a little bit about that. I mean, first of all, it must have been a thrill to become the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions and to hold them for as long as you did. And like I say, being fighting champions along the way as well, Kurt.
Absolutely. It was a absolute honour to be the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions. Me and Josh actually haven't tagged for a long time as of right now, but we're hoping to bring Hostile Takeover back very soon, and hopefully we can pick some more gold up. But yeah, it was a pleasure for WrestleForce to honestly trust us enough to put those belts on us, allowing us to beat former WrestleForce champions, not just in tag team competition, but their actual WrestleForce championship. We defended the belts against the likes of Mark True and Kieran Lacey, who obviously are now working for Progress and RevPro. Yeah. Sunshine Machine, as you mentioned, former Progress Tag Team Champions, and many other WrestleForce regular teams as well. And it was just such a fun run. Tagging with Josh has always been fun. We've been tagging together at WrestleForce since late 2021, and we finally picked up a lot of steam midway through 2022, early 2023 as well, and that obviously led to winning the championships. So we were doing something right, obviously.
Yeah. Look, so it'd be interesting to see if you get another run with those titles somewhere down the line. I think it's the Prestige that are holding the championships at the moment, Brandon Lee and Nathan Angel, is that right?
Yeah, they took those belts off us, and I think one of the first ever, don't hold me to that, but one of the first, or at least a rare appearance of a triple threat tag team match at WrestleForce. So, and unfortunately we did get pinned, so it wasn't a case of the other team got pinned and we now have a reason to go back for the belts. So, yeah, unfortunately we'll have to build our way back up to get those belts again, but we're definitely coming for them.
Talk to me about New Wave Wrestling Academy, New Wave Academy, out of Newport, I understand. Brendan White, Nico Angelo, Danny Luna, Danny Jones, and other trainers that I've neglected to mention, but a fantastic setup there, wonderful facilities, like I say, a great crew of trainers. You said you've been training with them since early 2022, if I heard you correctly there, Kurt. But I mean, they've obviously been a very, very important part of your development, certainly over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Definitely. So I moved on to New Wave about a month after it opened in early 2022, I think around May, somewhere around that time. But I moved on from my previous school, Exist Pros School, All Style Academy, just because I felt like I got to a point where I was on the cusp of getting out there a lot more, but I needed that extra level of training. I feel like I'd plateaued and that I needed to go where the best coaches were, you know? And obviously, as you said, former NXT UK, current TNA, in the coaches at New Wave, it was a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And with you being, a heavyweight competitor, who in particular has kind of been fundamental to kind of helping you, developing you, training you, maybe taking you under their wing? Do they have a specific coach for the bigger guys there, for the heavyweights?
I guess you could say so, yeah. It's kind of fallen in that way with New Wave. With Brendan White, I'd say, has definitely been a huge help. Obviously, probably, if not, he is one of, if not, the best heavyweights in the UK as a whole. Danny Jones as well, but also Danny Jones being a pure striker, obviously going out to Japan for so long, he's obviously got that technical skill as well. Wild Boar is just a jack of all trades, to be honest. He's a wealth of knowledge, and it's such an honour to learn from him weekly as well. Just having someone like Hitch at your disposal every single week is insane. Obviously Danny Luna for the women's classes, and obviously just a complete package of a wrestler herself. Nico Angelo for High Flyers. There's just a range of coaches at New Wave, but I would definitely say Brendan White, Danny Jones and the Wild Boar have been some of my favourite people to learn off of for the heavyweight style or the heavy hitting style in regards to Hitch or Danny Jones.
Yeah, and you certainly through 2022 into 2023 and through 2023, you wrestled on a lot of their shows as well. Some of the opponents that really stand out, Chris Bronson, Danny Jones, Elijah, and a number of multi-man matches, including the championship scramble, which looked a ton of fun. So you've had a lot of opportunities, a lot of really cool matches and great opponents in their shows as well, certainly over the last year or so, Kurt.
Definitely. I believe one of the photos you actually brought up earlier of my transformation physically was from the second ever New Wave show. And obviously, looking at me from that show to now obviously proves, as we saw, as we discussed earlier, how much I've come along look-wise. But I think it's exactly the same with looking back at match footage from New Wave shows. Obviously, with the first one being in late 2022 and the most recent ones being up to now, you can definitely see a difference in my wrestling and who I am as a person within the New Wave footage. So it's definitely a great place to see my development.
Absolutely. Got a few pictures here. Your match against Danny Jones, of course, and a few others. And I think there we go. Jordan Sparks, and probably teaming with with Toby St. John as one half of the Blockbusters, quite possibly there. Like I say, New Wave doing some wonderful things, both of us a training academy and for wrestling shows, very, very well received and well respected, one of the best schools out there. We are edging ever closer to WrestleMania weekend, Kurt, and I think less than 3 weeks around the corner. And like I say, not only is it a big occasion for wrestling fans in North America, but in the UK and all around the UK, a lot of promotions put on shows. And you've got possibly one of your biggest matches and one of your most formidable opponents that weekend, Saturday, the 6th of April, against that man there, Wild Boar, on your home turf, Swansea, for a Swansea street fight. You must be looking forward to that and to go up against another one of your trainers, Mike Hitchman, Wild Boar. That's got to be up there as far as one of your biggest matches today and probably one of the biggest matches that you're looking forward to.
Absolutely. It's a match I've wanted for a very long time. Anyone who knows me knows that the Wild Boar is right at the top of my list for people I've wanted to face for so long. And the fact I get to do it very close to my hometown, but obviously being from the Swansea area, it's just an honour to be able to get to wrestle Hitch, especially after his recent announcement of that he's slowing down a bit with his wrestling bookings and that kind of thing. It's amazing I'm finally getting that match, and I can't wait, to be honest.
And the street fight element, I'm quite curious about, because I know Wild Boar can mix it up and he can get quite physical when need be. And with yourself being a bigger guy, that's probably right up your street, isn't it? No pun intended. But like I say, that's going to be a fun and physical match that I think both of you are going to be in your element.
Definitely. Definitely not my first street fight as well, both in wrestling and outside of wrestling. But I've had a few street fights within the wrestling ring, and they've had varying success, and especially someone like Wild Boar, obviously having some crazy matches, especially the one with Eddie Dennis at NXT UK, the dog collar match.
Yes.
Perfect example of the brutality the Wild Boar can show. So I'm definitely studying, getting ready for that match, and hopefully I'll come out on top.
There we go. Take us all the way back to what inspired you, or what maybe motivated you to want to become a professional wrestler. Back in your youth, I'm guessing that you've been a wrestling fan before taking up the sport. But what was the kind of inspiration? What motivated you to want to take it up yourself?
I was always a fan, obviously. Growing up watching the WWE, obviously I'm quite young, so I was never really around for like when it was around the tail end of WWF, I probably caught up with, but
yeah,
it was more the WWE kind of times that I caught up with. Yeah, it was just the entertainment of it, the fact that the showmanship of it, the intensity, it was always something that interested me, and I was always a fan. Obviously, like most people, I kind of fell out of it for a while, maybe towards like the 2010s ish for me. But then I got back into it midway through the 2010s, which is when I pretty much picked it up then myself. The actual story of how I got into wrestling is quite a funny one, because I was speaking to some of my friends and just randomly brought up, would it be funny if I found a wrestling school and became a pro wrestler? And they obviously were loving it. And then I decided, do you know what? I think I will actually do that and see what I can find. And lo and behold, I found a local school, and it's now led me to here. So that joke that I decided to pull has led to a perfect career.
Tell me a little bit about them first few years, or maybe kind of leading up to lockdown, to the pandemic, because you did have a bit of momentum. You did find a bit of success. And like I say, you were starting to get the reps under your belt, especially 2018 going into 2019. Talk to me about them kind of few years before the lockdown, because you were quite active, and like I say, you were getting the reps in and becoming more comfortable as a wrestler. And then all of a sudden the rug was pulled from everybody's feet. But tell us about them early days, Inker.
Yeah, so around the 2018 mark, I was still wrestling and training with Exist Pro All Style Academy, And they got me such great opportunities. I can't thank them enough for absolutely everything they got for me. But debuts at places like Exist Itself, Slam Masters in the early days as well, back when they were doing rugby clubs. I was part of the first few Slam Master shows up until COVID, as well as places like Vertigo Pro Wrestling when that came back. Great opportunities there. My first encounter with Elijah was actually there in a four-way match for the championship. I was starting to get a good ride of the wave there leading up to 2020. Obviously, consistent work with Slam Masters and Exist Pro. But obviously, the pandemic did lead to a stall in the momentum, unfortunately. And like most wrestlers, I think it just it devastated me. But at the same time, it was a nice reset, allowed me to figure out what I wanted from wrestling, and then allowed me to get back on it when COVID eventually lifted.
Yeah. I mean, take us back to kind of them early days before COVID once again. And like I say, you were still very young, probably 18, 19 years of old, of age. And I'm guessing that it was maybe, you know, a bit of a learning curve for you, especially being so young, branching out, working for more and more promotions, but still trying to find your feet back then. Did you kind of cope well with the wrestling business back then, and how steep was the learning curve for you?
I definitely think that being a kid, you don't really get involved in like too much of the deeper parts of the wrestling business. You're probably quite ignorant to it in a way, and because of that, I feel like until the pandemic happened, I was probably just like going along with whatever was happening. I wasn't really pushing to get more opportunities. But at the end of the day, I was young as well. So those few years allowed me really to learn more about the business and have more experiences, so that when the pandemic did happen and then when it ended, I had a fresher mindset for the business. And I was definitely more grown up when I started to then hit my stride after the pandemic ended.
Yeah, absolutely. When you did come back, you mentioned Slam Masters, but I know that they gave you opportunities coming out of lockdown, as well as Pro Wrestling Carnage. And of course, WrestleForce came onto the scene with yourself as well. So, you know, opportunities straight away, like say 2021 going into 2022, and you felt a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more mature, a little bit more accomplished by then. Probably was able to enjoy your wrestling a bit more as well.
I'd say so, yeah. It was definitely more of, as I said, I was more grown up. I was able to probably have more fun experiences with wrestling instead of just like constantly pushing for more things. I feel like more things came to me instead, which was quite nice. And it just allowed me to really have fun with it. And that's all what it's all about, really, as well. Like, it's a business at the end of the day, but if you're not having fun, then really, what's the point?
Yeah. Talk to me a bit about your influences as a professional wrestler. And I don't know whether you take influences from maybe wrestlers from the past, or maybe any talent that you work with, any coaches that you work with nowadays, but your style and your kind of heavyweight in-ring work, is it influenced, or do you take any influence from any wrestlers past or present?
Yeah, definitely. I've picked up a lot of my mannerisms and stuff from people from the past and the present. Obviously, Wild Boar has been an essential part of my growth. Brendan White, Danny Jones, all of those coaches from New Wave, Nico Angelo, Danny Luna as well. But from years gone by, Sheamus has actually been a very big inspiration for me, which is why I've adopted his backbreaker. And that's part of my moveset, and that's been part of my moveset since I debuted in 2018. The Irish Curse Backbreaker obviously being one of his signature stuff. I've renamed it as Molten Correction, but it's now part of my staple moveset, and I have him to thank for that. He's definitely on my dream match list of European wrestlers, worldwide wrestlers. He's probably at the top, actually.
That would be an incredible match.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. As well as Sheamus, I'd say The Undertaker was my favourite wrestler growing up, 100%. Just the ominous presence of him really gave me more heel vibes from him, which has probably influenced my heel side more than my face side. But it's definitely someone I've grown up watching and loved, obviously, until his recent retirement.
And other than continue.
That, of course. And then other than that, then more recent like wrestlers include people like Brian Cage, for example, another person like myself who's freakishly athletic for his size. Big fan of Brian Cage. He's another one who's on my dream match list for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me a little bit about your moveset then, because I have seen a whole load of your matches in preparation for this. Like I say, you mentioned the Irish Curse Backbreaker, and you've obviously got your own name for that. But like I say, you are very quick around the ring. I would say you're also very technically proficient as well. Everything you do seems very, very smooth and very, very solid in-ring work. So you've obviously got that grounding of the more technical side as well, and your timing, it just seems fantastic as well. But tell us a little bit about some of your other favourite moves to perform in the ring and maybe some of your signature moves.
Yeah, so obviously I mentioned the Irish Curse Backbreaker that is now my Molten Correction. Other things, I tend to do a lot of throws, suplexes, that sort of thing. But as you said, I'm very proficient in technical stuff, athletic stuff, such as I can moonsault, I can do stuff like that. I don't bust it out much, but I can do them. I used to be able to springboard. I'm not actually sure if I can still, but maybe I'll bust one out at some point. As well as a handspring cutter, which I used to do a few years ago, but I've kind of left on the back burner for now. Maybe that'll come out on a special occasion. But then other moves obviously include my power slam that I've been using, Iron Spiral. That would be my finish. And then just a lot of fast-paced stuff, a lot of rope maneuvers, splashes in the corners, using my size and my advantage pretty much.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a bit about Attack Pro Wrestling now, because you had a few matches for them under your belt in 2023. How did you get onto Attack's radar? Tell us a little bit about your journey with them so far.
It was honestly through networking and stuff like that, going to shows, crewing. Obviously, New Wave has offered me some great opportunities to crew with companies like Pro Wrestling Chaos or Attack. And that's obviously led now to opportunities within those companies. Obviously, I'm a member of the Ring Crew Express at Attack. So always bring your gear, as the tagline goes, and maybe you'll get an opportunity. But it's definitely all about networking. It's all about going to these shows, crewing, showing your face, because it doesn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, absolutely. And one match, one opponent I want to mention in particular was... this one here, and yourself versus Connor Mills. And I think it all stems from a bit of a backstage altercation where Mills confronted Shane Hooker, and you had the match as one member of the Ring Crew Express on behalf of your good friend there, Shane Hooker. But that must have been a bit of a bucket list opponent and one of your favourite matches of last year.
Absolutely. Mills is an incredible talent, like Brendan White. He is probably one of the best in the UK in his style, in any style really, pure striker. It was an honour to be in there with him. I'd love another match with him, to be honest. But yeah, I definitely had a challenge going against Mills, but I had to jump in and defend Shane at the end of the day. He's a good friend, and hopefully when he comes back now from his injury, which is very soon actually, me and him can actually tear it up as well, maybe an Attack, maybe somewhere else.
There we go. And I know that we've spoken about a number of really, really top talents from internationally and more domestically based that you've wrestled over the last year or so, and 2023, 2024, two real standout years for you. Who would you say are some of your toughest opponents that you've faced in the ring so far? And of course, we mentioned you've still got that match in a few weeks' time against Wild Boar. I'm sure that'll be right up there when that happens. But who stands out as being some of your tougher opponents to date then, Kurt?
I definitely say... Santino Morella, surprisingly. Obviously, that international experience he's had, especially the Cobra, that is a dangerous thing. You've got to avoid that for sure. I'd say one of my most difficult matches that really challenged me, especially early on in my New Wave career, was actually my singles match against Danny Jones. That was definitely a sink or swim moment for me. And I like to believe I swam and not sank right to the bottom there. But yeah, it was definitely, there it is right there. It was definitely one of my most difficult matches, very hard hitting. That Japanese style is still within Danny. And then other than that, Brendan as well. I wrestled Brendan White in a singles match at Exist Pro. And I've also tagged against the Greedy Souls at New Wave as well. Any of my coaches, honestly, I would say as well, have presented challenges, because I feel like they're obviously trying to get me to that level. And by doing that, you know, the saying goes, to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And
yeah,
there we go.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about a gut check now, because I understand that I do have a couple of pictures here. You were one of the participants at Gut Check when Impact, now known as TNA once again, of course, but they were in town October last year, and you were one of many UK talents that were down. I think there's about 80 UK talents that had signed up for Gut Check over that weekend. Tell us a bit about that experience. And first of all, I mean, how was you first made aware of Gut Check? And tell us about that decision to apply.
I was first made aware of Gut Check when obviously the announcement went out from Impact, now TNA. I'm in an RN a lot about, oh, should I do this? Maybe I'm not at that point yet. And then I got a message from Brendan White of just the link to Gut Check sign up. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely, if one of my coaches is pushing this for me, this is definitely something that I should be doing, and is definitely a once in a lifetime opportunity. And yeah, it was such a great experience as well to be in the ring, to be in a TNA ring in front of people like Josh Alexander, Gail Kim, Joe Hendry and Scott DeMore. An absolute pleasure, really good day out, to be honest. And even though I didn't make the top 10 or win the thing, it was such a great experience and something that I can easily put on my CV. And yeah.
Did they get you doing drills, or how did they assess you while you were there?
Yeah, a few drills, standard like stuff for wrestling, but obviously at their level, they're going to be able to tell who's got the potential for them to train, and then who obviously may need a bit more work. But a few drills, obviously then the final 10 got through to live matches before the show. I believe 3 or 4 New Wave people actually made it into the top 10, which is fantastic for the school. But yeah, unfortunately, I didn't make the top 10, but it was an absolute pleasure to watch some of my closest friends wrestle in a TNA ring.
Yeah, I mean, did you get any feedback afterwards? Did you get a chance to speak to any of the coaches or any of the TNA assessors that were there watching the action, watching all the talent? And what are some of your kind of biggest takeaways from that weekend?
Unfortunately, I didn't get any one-to-one time with the TNA talent. I did get a lot of feedback from some of my peers who were there, from New Wave or from just people who I'd met while I've been in the wrestling business who just so happened to be there. But yeah, it was just a great experience overall, to be honest. And I definitely learned a lot on how the recruitment process works for places like TNA or WWE. It's definitely something that I'm going to use in the future as an experience, which has taught me a lot. And I look forward to my next tryout, to be honest.
Yeah, and I'm guessing being part of an experience like that, it's also, you know, got quite a motivational factor as well, and it's probably spurred you on to want to do and achieve a lot more down the line.
Definitely. It definitely was one of the things which pushed me to keep going, keep doing what I was doing at the time with wrestling, and has obviously led to more opportunities down the line already in regards to not, you know, 80 people, it may seem like a lot, but for the entire UK with the wrestling scene, yeah. Obviously there were a few other days of Gut Check as well, but overall, no more than 200 people, I wouldn't say, probably did a tryout for TNA during that tour. And when you think about it, that's actually not many. So I feel like getting onto TNA's radar was obviously an aim. Now that they know who I am, maybe down the line something can happen, but if anything, it was a great experience and something which has just allowed me to keep pushing myself and hopefully get further on before my next opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, we spoke about the transformation, the look, the hair. But one thing I really want to talk about is that very impressive back tattoo, my friends. Tell us a bit about that. I don't know how recent that tattoo is, but tell us a little bit about what it is. So it looks like a dragon there for sure. Tell us a bit about that tattoo, because that really stands out, and I think that's kind of really sets you apart and really makes your gimmick that much better.
Yeah, so that tattoo, I believe I've had that since just before the pandemic. I got it started and I finished it gradually through the pandemic. Obviously, when lockdown restrictions were easing up, I'd go in and get some work done on it, and then eventually it was finished by the time the pandemic ended. So unfortunately, it was probably about 2 years worth of tattoo appointments. Really? Because of the pandemic. Wow. But definitely worth it. In regards to why I got it, I'm just a big tattoo lover, and obviously being Welsh, I just wanted a sweet dragon tattoo.
Absolutely. Let's kind of look ahead through the rest of 2024 and maybe further on. Do you have any kind of goals or aspirations, things you really want to kind of tick off that wrestling bucket list of yours?
Definitely. I always keep track of any dream matches I want every year, and I tend to tick them off as it goes through. So far, I think I've ticked off Nico Angelo. I will be ticking off Wild Boar, and I believe the Act 2 boys, actually. Those two I've also ticked off the list. So in regards to actual people I want to wrestle, there is a list, and I will be gradually working through it, hopefully, throughout the year. In regards to actual goals, I want to try and break 100 matches in 1 year. Obviously, 85 last year, I got quite close. A lot of those were camp shows for places like Welsh Wrestling or Superstars of Wrestling, obviously ran by James Mason and other promoters as well. But those shows, obviously the holiday camps, stuff like that, definitely bumped my numbers up. So I'm actually working a Superstars of Wrestling show this weekend. So hopefully I'll get a few more of those bookings, and I'll be able to bump my numbers up and hopefully hit 100 matches before the end of the year.
There we go. And let's jump to a couple of questions that have come through during the course of this interview. We've got Richie, good friend of the show. Any advice that you would give to any new guys or girls who want to step inside the squared circle one day? So I know that you're relatively young, and I don't know if you've actually helped with any coaching over the years. But like I say, having been in the business since you were, 15, 16 yourself, do you have any advice that you might want to pass on to any young boys or girls that might be interested in getting involved one day?
The honest advice is find the best school you can. Like, there's some fantastic schools around with some fantastic coaches. New Wave is the prime example. Other places like the Lion's Den in Plymouth, or the Brit King School. Other great examples, New Wave West Midlands, run by Flash Morgan Webster as well. Find the school, find reputable coaches is 100% the main thing you should be focusing on. But other than that, just give it a go. You never know, you may fall for it, to be honest. A lot of people, myself included, tend to give it a go for either a joke like I did, or as something to tick off their bucket list of, oh, I was a fan when I was a kid, maybe I can give it a go. And then they just fall in love with it. And I feel like that's the best way to get into something like wrestling.
Absolutely. And another question from Richie. What did you get or gain from your New Wave Championship match against Elijah? He was one of the matches that I mentioned earlier on, but having a New Wave Championship match against Elijah, one of the very best talents in the whole of the UK, that must have been a really cool experience for you. And as Richie said, a bit of a learning experience for you as well.
Definitely. Elijah is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers I've ever been in the ring with. I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And finally, I think he is, with his recent debut in Rev Pro and all the stuff he's been doing there. So from what I learned from that match was there are levels to this, and I believe at that point, especially like before my transformation, before I properly found myself, I definitely learned that I wasn't at that level just yet. I was just about to hit it, as we saw, but maybe it was a bit not early for me to be in there with Elijah, because I definitely learned a lot from that match. But it allowed me probably to realize I wasn't exactly at that point, and then allowed me to build myself up to that point, which obviously led to the new look, the new attitude, and just the overall in-ring stuff that I've been doing being improved.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before we kind of say goodbye to our guest, Kurt Atlas, just want to offer you an opportunity to throw out your socials, my friends, and where my viewers, listeners, followers can reach out, say hi, and learn more about Kurt Atlas. But I do have your socials scrolling along the bottom of the screen, but an opportunity for you to tell us where we can get in touch, my friend.
Yeah, so my Instagram is big.kurtpw. My X or Twitter is at Kurt Atlas, as well as my Facebook. And you can find merch at kurtatlas.bigcartel.com. I got a few shirts on there, I believe. Probably be releasing one probably mid-year as well, so we'll see how that goes.
There we go. I think that T-shirt is one of the current designs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I'd say there we go. That is... is that an Elliot 93 design there? Graphic
definitely,
design
yeah.
For yourself there? Fantastic. But there we go. And a final question from me then. Been in the business a fair while, but the last couple of years have really been standout, breakout years for you, in particular 2023, and 2024 is going to be a banger as well. But what are some of your proudest moments that you can really look back on with fondness and, like I say, a lot of pride, my friend?
Definitely my Brit King stuff. I feel like Brit King as a company has put a lot of trust in me and given me some great opportunities that I can be proud of. All the stuff I've ever done for New Wave as well. Obviously, I've been there since the first show. I've been there since the school pretty much opened after it rebranded from Dragon Pro. So I feel like I can see myself as a New Wave original, and I'm proud to call myself a New Wave original. And other than that, I'm just proud of where my career is going, and that I finally found who I am, and that I can hopefully use that now to propel myself to where I hopefully want to be.
There we go. And I honestly believe that you're one of the most exciting young heavyweights on the UK scene in 2024. Like I say, hopefully we'll see you in more and more places this year and beyond. But Ironclad Kurt Atlas, I just want to thank you so much for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you for having me, John. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome, my friend.